I'm Julie Burstein. I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. This winter, a documentary called Trouble the Water won the Grand Jury Prize at the 2008 Sundance Film Festival. It begins with Kimberly Rivers Roberts' home movie of her neighbors in New Orleans' Ninth Ward, the day that Hurricane Katrina makes landfall, right before the storm hits. Many of her neighbors, like her, had no way to leave the city, and the film follows Roberts and her husband Scott Roberts as they huddle in their attic, help rescue neighbors, and struggle with the hurricane, its aftermath, and the government's failure to help them. Trouble the Water opens Friday at the IFC Center and the Imagination at the Faison Firehouse Theater. And it's my pleasure that it's brought co-director and co-producer Tia Lesson and Kimberly and Scott Roberts to the show today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
I have to say, I watched this last night with my kids, and they watched it, and their eyes grew wide. They really weren't old enough to understand what had happened during Katrina. And I think the images that you took of what you went through were so powerful for them. And I wondered, how long had you been taking movies before Hurricane Katrina hit?
I just started like a week before, well, the week before the storm, I bought the camcorder.
Wow.
So that was like my second thing really filming. My first thing I filmed was my brother and my husband playing the video game, but that's how I learned how to use the camera, by just messing with it, watching them play the video game. And that was actually the day before I started filming.
And how did you have the presence of mind in the middle of a hurricane to keep filming as you went through all of the various, I mean, you had to escape to your attic, and I watched it and thought, I would never have had the ability to film this while it was happening.
As far as the presence of mind, only thing I can say, I prayed, you know. I prayed and asked God to let his peace be with me, because I needed, I know I couldn't panic and get frantic like some people were around me, because I wouldn't be able to think my way out of the situation. So basically, I prayed and asked God to let his peace be on my mind, because I needed, you know, that to think. And I prayed for his guidance, and he gave me just that.
Tia, when did you meet Scott and Kim?
My producing and directing partner, Carl Deal, and I went to central Louisiana about 10 days after the storm hit. You know, we went down there because we were trying to make sense of what was happening, you know, on the Gulf Coast, and, you know, why the evacuation hadn't happened and why rescue wasn't coming. And we'd seen an article in the New York Times about the return of the National Guard soldiers from Louisiana who had been deployed to Baghdad and had been in Baghdad at the time of the storm. And we thought that this would help us make sense of what was happening there. And so we went down there to film these returns of these soldiers. And we'd been shooting for about 4 or 5 days. At one point, we'd asked about the high water vehicles, because we'd found out that most of them for the state of Louisiana were still in Iraq. And at that point, the National Guard PR people shut us down. They said Fahrenheit 9/11 screwed it up for you guys. We're not sure if they knew that we'd been producers of that film. But while I was still trying to get permission to continue shooting, Carl wandered over to the Red Cross shelter, which was next door to the armory. And there, you know, Kimberly and Scott spotted us and our crew and actually got right in front of the camera and started to tell their story.
Scott, were you hesitant at all to be the subject of a documentary, or did you feel this is a story you really needed to tell?
Well, we weren't planning on it being a documentary based on us, but it just turned out to be that way because we had powerful footage and, you know, they were basically, the stories we were telling them, they were finding out were true through the tapes and from what people were telling them.
Kimberly, one of the most powerful moments is when you go up to the attic and you've got your camcorder and you have, was it neighbors there and friends who are all up there with you? And not only did you bring the camcorder, but you brought food, which I thought was a brilliant thing to do. And later, one of the women who was up there with you said, you know, it was terrible, but you kept it light, you know, that people felt like you were in this together. And I found that footage of all of you up in the attic so powerful. There you are with little kids.
Yes.
Watching the water rise.
Yes.
What was it like when you first saw that footage again after the experience, when you looked at it?
Well, first of all, I want to say, if it had not been for my husband, Scott Roberts, we might would have died, me and my neighbors, because he the one went next door to my neighbor's house and bammed a hole in their ceiling. It was nothing but women and children and a couple of teenage boys who wasn't men yet, so they really didn't understand what to do. So my husband went over there and bammed a hole in their ceiling and put their whole family up there, because it was just me, him, the two dogs, and the cat in our house. But as he did that, I went and started packing the food in a cooler, because I knew the cooler wouldn't get wet. And then I put that in the attic, because I knew that we was going to need food. So that's why I did that.
And you shared an attic because you had houses that were right next
to each
other.
Yeah, it was a double house, right. So we kind of shared the attic. But when I first saw the footage, it was like, wow, look at me. You know, I never really kind of saw myself like that, as being a positive, strong person like that. I'm too busy living my life, being me, doing me, and that's normal for me. It's in my heart to be like that. But when I first saw it, it kind of showed me really the real person that I am. You know, living in New Orleans, living in poverty, and living in, you know, bad conditions and stuff, how we were living before the storm, it kind of drown out the real you. You can't really see yourself for who you is, because you're too busy trying to pay your rent. You're too busy trying to just live day to day. So, you know, so we don't have time to look at ourselves. We just busy trying to make it each and every day, and, you know, try to avoid getting into trouble and stuff like that. So I ain't have really time in my life to look at myself. But through this film, I thank God for Tia and Carol, because through this film, them putting it together, it helped me to see myself and know the beauty in myself, you know, through the film.
I think viewers see that, too, in both of you and also in the people in your neighborhood. I know there's that amazing shot of your neighbor Larry chest deep in water saying, I can help y'all. I can get you out of the attic.
Right, yeah.
That was so. And then later, Tia, you have an image of him dancing because he said, the storm brought something out of me that I didn't know.
Well, that's right.
There.
He used a punching bag, and he and Scott, you know, forged the river that had been France Street, the street they lived on. You know, and let's remember, you know, they didn't choose to stay in New Orleans. I mean, there was no, you know, these are people, 100,000 people, you know, who didn't have a means to get out because there was no public transportation organized by the city. So if you didn't have a car, you're out of luck.
The city had public transportation. We have a train station there. We even have a airport. For whatever reason, the city did not get its citizens out. You understand? In my opinion, they was like off into their own little world. They got their family out. But, you know, they just forgot about the private poor community who wasn't able to get themselves out.
I'm speaking with Kimberly Rivers Roberts, Scott Roberts, and Tia Lesson about the film Trouble the Water, which has Kimberly and Scott's film of being in the midst of Hurricane Katrina and then film of the two of you afterwards and what happens afterwards. I know you're talking about how there wasn't any way for you to get out.
It was the way they just didn't make it happen, the city.
The city council,
they are responsible for that. And we just did a segment in New Orleans. We showed like a sneak preview. And I wish the mayor was there, because I showed that he got a lot of blood on his hand.
It felt so shameful to see that once the hurricane had occurred, you had to rescue yourselves. I mean, Tia, you talked about Scott and Larry with a punching bag rescuing these people out of an attic.
Yes, yes.
Scott, how did you and Larry figure out, all right, this is how we're going to do this?
Well, first of all, I can't swim at all, so we just had to find a boat, and we went up maybe two blocks, and we found a boat, and that was the way to get. The boat had a hole in it, but...
And you got in the water not knowing how to swim at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Basically, so...
The boat had a hole in it. What did you do then?
Well, we just continued to use the boat, and... When we got to a certain part of the city in
y'all
the neighborhood,
stuck a sock in a hole.
Yeah, that's when we stuck the sock in a hole.
And how did you get out of the attic? Because you were a few feet above the water. You weren't right at water level in your attic.
Well, Larry Sims, you know, he was a lifeguard, and plus he's over six feet, you know, so he was able to help me to help other people, you know. He basically held on to me while I held on to someone else, and we went through the water like that till we got the boat. That's when we started bringing people to higher ground.
There's an incredibly powerful part of the film. This is a few weeks after the storm. And I'd love to play that, of what happens when the Coast Guard tells you to go to a naval yard to bring people to higher ground for a place where they might be able to stay. Can we listen to that clip?
So I said, why can't we stay overnight? They says, well, we can't help you. You're on your own. So I said, what about the women and children? They said, get off our property or we're going to start shooting. But I'm still just trying to talk to these people. All of a sudden, I see the man get on the CB, call for backup, and they had at least 20 troops that came out there, all of them with M16s. And they loaded up the guns in front of us, cocked them, and aimed them at the crowd.
It was never any hint of us planning to use any type of force, and we weren't.
When they got their guns, put the clip in, cocked it, and aimed it at the crowd, my life flashed from my eyes.
It was a real eerie feeling, I thought. But, you know, we had to do our job, and that was to protect the interests of the government, and that's what we did in maintaining the base.
That's a clip from Trouble the Water. It's a film about Hurricane Katrina and what happened afterwards by Tia Lesson with Kimberly River Roberts and Scott Roberts, who are here with me in the Leonard Lopate Show today. That was such a... I can't even imagine what you feel when you've got all these kids and older people and you're asking for shelter and they're saying no.
Well, you know, I was like, it don't have to be the men. Just take the women and children. We had elderly people. We had handicapped people, you know, and this was a base that they had an already closed down rooms.
There were 500. I'm sorry. There were 500 rooms at the, you know, as I was saying, that they had closed this base down. There were 500 empty rooms at the ready, and you know, there were no orders from the commander in chief sent down to open the doors and let these people. But you know, that didn't stop Kimberly and Scott. I mean, they took their community to the, you know, to higher ground. They couldn't find it at the naval base, but they went to their high school. And found sanctuary there for a couple nights.
There also, Tia, in addition to the footage that Kimberly shot and to the footage that you have of Kimberly and Scott and their friends afterwards, you include archival tape. There's one very harrowing bit where you hear a woman, incredibly polite, saying, the water is rising and I can't put a hole in my attic. When can someone come? And the operator saying, there will be no one coming. And she says, that means I'm going to die, ma'am. And it was at that moment that one of my kids started crying. And I thought, where did you find this tape? And how did you decide to include it?
You know, the city of New Orleans taped those phone calls. I mean, there were hours and hours of these harrowing calls of, you know, people begging for their lives. You know, people like Kimberly and Scott, you know, left behind, older people and children. And we really sort of, we hesitated to put them in because there's, you know, who knows what happened to these people. I mean, it's just awful. You know, and but we chose to put about 60 seconds in the film, you know, because we wanted to make it clear that this was happening all over the city, and while Kimberly and Scott had the resources and their own selves to get to higher ground, so many people didn't.
One of the powerful scenes, the place where I started to cry was at the end, and it surprised me, Kimberly, when you were singing the song, because you're a singer, you're a rapper. And it made me realize that Hurricane Katrina was terrible, but your life beforehand was not very easy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
What do you want me to elaborate on?
Well, elaborate on the strength that you had to turn what you went through into some art, which is really what you did.
Well, I ain't gonna get into my whole life story because it is truer than fiction. But you know, all that kind of prepared me for the day in Katrina. You know, I've been going through a lot my whole life, period. Just surviving poverty, surviving the 80s crack epidemic that a lot of the poor black people still ain't well from. You know, surviving all type of abuse my whole life, you know, being put into situations, desperate situations where I don't have no other choice but to pick. And you know, a lot of people don't even know how that is, to be in situations where you don't have no other options. It's this or nothing, where this to go steal out of stove because you need something to eat, or to put yourself in a position where you have to sell drugs because you ain't old enough to get a job, yet you still have to eat and you have to feed children in your household. So a lot of people don't even much know about that. But you know, the things that happened to me, you know, that I overcame in time, you know, by me overcoming that, it kind of prepared me for Katrina, you know. And so I just used that energy and used that strength that I gained from overcoming things in my past to help people in Katrina. And also, I kind of demonstrate that in my music. I put a lot of it in my music because it's children and it's people that's living in this world right now still going through what I already overcame. So I kind of use it as an inspirational tool to inspire other people to continue to push and continue to expect better each and every day, because that's not the end. A lot of times, like, especially in young people, they think, well, a lot of people, period, think when you go through hard times, oh, this is the end. This is how the world is. But they just don't know, you know, if you continue to push and overcome those things, you can use that strength that you draw from doing that to move the world. And right about now in my life, I'm at a good place in my life, because the things that I've been through kind of prepared me to be the representative of all the people who can't represent themselves in Hurricane Katrina.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry to say this, but we're going to have to go because we're running out of time.
Right, right.
But this was an extraordinary movie, and it's really wonderful to have had a chance to talk with you. I've been speaking with Tia Lesson, the director, Kimberly Rivers Roberts, and Scott Roberts. Film opens August 22nd at IFC Center.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.